Good morning. Welcome to Flat Springs Baptist Church. We're so excited that everyone is here with us this morning. We do have some special visitors with us today because today is a very special day in our church. We are honoring our secretary, Ms. Kathy Seal, who has or will have her anniversary at the end of May. She's worked with us for 20 years now, so we want to celebrate her today. And so after I say the invocation, Mr. Bill is going to come up here for a special presentation. I do have a few announcements for you all this morning. The first one is to high school and college graduates. If you are graduating from high school or college, I need to know. And if you want to be recognized, we're going to be recognizing you all on Sunday, June the 3rd. And so if you look in the bulletin, there's a little note in there that tells you specifically what I need to know. But just take a look at that, shoot me an email, and let me know. And then there's also a sign-up sheet out in the atrium if you would like to attend our graduate luncheon, which will be immediately following worship on that day. Marriage retreat. We have a marriage retreat coming up the end of April. You may have seen some flyers around church. It's going to be the weekend of April 27th through the 28th. Cost is $30 per couple. Again, this is not marriage counseling, so please feel free to come. It is going to be an enjoyable experience. It's going to be a great time, I think, just to spend some time with your spouse. We will have childcare available, and then Roger and Janet Sauls are coming to lead that retreat for us. So they're really gifted in what they do. They feel called to that ministry, and so we want to hear what they have to say. I've extended the sign up for that till the 22nd. So if you would like to participate in that, just check out the sign up sheet in the atrium. Want to bring to your attention that High Attendance Sunday will be this month, April the 29th, the last Sunday of this month. We will have High Attendance Sunday. So please just mark your calendars for that date. Do have a few prayer concerns to share with you all. Please remember the Hill Yancey family. This is a cousin of Davis Harris, who was killed in an automobile accident. We want to be remembering them in our prayers. And then also, please remember the Virginia Wade family. Miss Virginia passed away, and so we want to be remembering them in our prayers as well. And then also, we have a praise. Buck Thomas, earlier, I think it was last weekend, had an eye injury, and we were very concerned about that. And doctors were thinking he was going to have a couple of surgeries, and it turns out that everything is okay. So we're just grateful for that and for answered prayers there. And now, if you will, please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful to be in your house again this morning, God, to be able to sing your praises and to worship you. God, we thank you, especially on this day that we get to celebrate Miss Kathy and the service that she has given to this church. God, we just thank you for allowing us to be here, and we ask that you help us to focus on you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I have to get used to it. I'm not used to having just reading glasses. 20 years ago, well, I was chairman of the personnel committee. You see, I've been around a while. our church secretary decided it was time to retire. We invited we had several interviews with no luck. And then we interviewed Kathy Seal, and as they say, the rest is history. For 20 years, she has served the church with pride and dignity. She viewed this position not just as a job, but as a calling. When a church has a problem or a concern, she is very often the first point of contact. If someone calls the pastor and he is out of the office, they will sometimes talk with Kathy. She graciously listens and passes along the interaction to pastor. She takes this with the seriousness that is required and no one else has ever told of the interaction. When members need information about past services, they call Kathy. Even though it is not in her job description, she will search through old church bulletins and files, do her best to find the requested information. She works to maintain the office a place that feels welcome and is always professional. Kathy is also a devoted church member. She has led the Angel Choir for many years, and her kids have gone on to be members of other choirs with a love of music that I find hard to believe. Kathy is also a member of the Chancel Choir and a soloist that would be hard to replace. Kathy and I have been friends and members of the same Sunday school class for more years than I want to say. We also have a bond that most members don't know about. Her daughter Elizabeth and my daughter Bonnie double dated on her senior prom. As I hope you will see, Kathy has been an important part of the working of the church and a church member as well. We are blessed to have her as our beloved church secretary. Congratulations on 20 years of outstanding service. And Kathy, this is just a little something from us to you for all your dedicated service, all your years of putting up with us, our committee, and putting up with Pastor. We all know how much that can be at times. do you have any words?
I wrote mine out, so I didn't have to think about it. I'd like to thank everyone for this special recognition today in celebration of my 20 years of service as church secretary of Flat Springs Baptist Church. In September of this year, I will have also served as Angel Choir director for 14 years. Through the years, I've enjoyed having the privilege and blessing of getting to know them and being able to share a little bit about music with each and every one of them. The latest count was I've had at least 56 kids that have passed through my Angel Choir door. And the representation today is not going to be, you know, quite what it should be. Being spring break, a lot of kids are gone on vacation, out of town, but we will make a mighty sound, the ones that are here. I'd also like to recognize the accompanists and helpers that have served me over the years. I began being Angel Choir leader in 2004, and when I began this journey, Linda Lamberth assisted me by playing the piano, followed by Nicole Pusey, and now Gail Luck. My helpers included Hannah Jackson and Emily Lambeth, who they were both here last week because of Easter, Diane Quiggle, Pat Bridges, and Salisa Quinn. Words cannot express how valuable these ladies that have helped me have been to me and how wonderful they've been to me. A little later in the service, a combination of the Angel Choir kids that I've had currently and in the past will sing a song for you. And again, thank you again for honoring me. Thank you.
Call me near. Take your hymnals and turn to number 413, please. Faith is the victory. Let's stand as we sing.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we give thanks for all your many, many blessings. Dear Lord, we pray that you guide, lead, and direct us. Help us mend what needs mending in our lives, dear Lord. Help us to say what needs saying. Dear Lord, that we pray what needs praying. Dear Lord, we ask that you bless and accept these tithes and these offerings to be used for thy will and service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
turn to number 415, Moment by Moment.
Are getting pretty good at that. I like it. So this morning, Pastor Gary is going to be talking about less sight and more faith. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, it says this, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Okay, now, this morning, if I were to ask one of you to stand up and I blindfolded you and I spun you around in circles three times, and then I said, okay, I want you to walk to the back of the church and then come on back and bring me a hymnal. Do you think you could do it? You could do it. Blindfolded? You feel confident of that? Okay. Well, I brought a blindfold this morning, but I'm not going to let you do it by yourself. Okay? So go ahead and stand up. And come here. Here, let me come over here. Oh, well, not everybody, just you. Come here. Okay, I'm going to blindfold you, okay? Sorry, I'm trying not to pull your hair. Okay, can you see? Don't lie to me, you're in church.
Kissy,
how many fingers?
I don't know.
Okay, come on. We're going to walk to the back of the church, okay? And we're going to grab a hymnal. You're good, I got you. I'm not going to let you go. Trust me. All right, we're going to ask Miss Caitlin if she'll hand us the hymnal. There you go. You're going to hold that. You're going to stay with me now. Don't fall. All right. We're going to keep walking. You're doing good. I'm impressed. I wouldn't have done this. Oh, I bet. All right, now I'm going to take the hymnal. I'm going to take the blindfold off. All right, you can have a seat. All right. You did a fantastic job. I'm not 100% sure I would have done that with my children's minister growing up. My dad. But anyway. So this morning, sometimes, what I want you to understand from this morning's message is that sometimes life can be hard, and sometimes it feels like we might be walking blindfolded, but God is right there walking alongside with us, okay? So that's what it means when we're talking about less sight. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be blindfolded. It means sometimes that challenges may come, but knowing that God is with us, we know that we can get through them, okay? So this week, I want you to remember that. You might not have a blindfold on, but you can remember that God is always with you, walking alongside you, okay? All right, let's say a prayer together. God, thank you so much for these children that are here this morning. God, we thank you that you walk right alongside with us each and every day, looking out for us. Please help us to have faith in you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, if you are in the angel choir, or if you are in Instruments of Christ, or an alumni of the angel choir, you're going to go ahead and come on stage, okay? I'll be reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God has given us a new birth because of his great mercy. We have been born into a new life that has a confidence which is alive because Jesus Christ has come back to life. We have been born into a new life which has an inheritance that can't be destroyed or corrupted and can't fade away. That inheritance is kept in heaven for you, since you are guarded by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed at the end of time. You are extremely happy about these things, even though you have to suffer different kinds of trouble for a little while now. The purpose of these troubles is to test your faith, as fire tests how genuine gold is. Your faith is more precious than gold, and by passing the test, it gives praise, glory, and honor to God. This will happen when Jesus Christ appears again. Although you have never seen Christ, you love him. You don't see him now, but you believe in him. You are extremely happy with joy and praise that can hardly be expressed in words as you obtain the salvation that is the goal of your faith.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Pray with us. Heavenly Father, we have gathered in this place to hear your voice, to strengthen our faith. If we can accomplish that, to hear your voice and strengthen our faith through your word, through your will, through the example of Jesus Christ, our resurrected Lord, then we will live differently this coming week. We'll make different decisions. We'll have different thoughts. Your Holy Spirit will begin to mold our spirit to be more Christ-like, to be kinder and more gentle, long-suffering, seeking grace and love and peace. Our family will change, and our family will know we've changed. Lord, we pray for those who have decided today, for whatever reason, not to gather with us in this place. We pray they might hear your voice and let you strengthen their faith in some other way. But Lord, remind us of the holiness of our assignment, and that it could make a difference in our neighbor. It could make a difference at school. It could make a difference in our home. And it could make a difference in eternity. So, Lord, we're here. Speak clearly as we lean in to hear your voice. And we pray, Lord, strengthen our faith. In Jesus' name.
Personnel committee said they wanted Kathy to pick out the anthem for today, and she gave me a list of about 30 long or more. She said, well, I've sung in the choir since 1995, and there are just so many anthems, I don't know which one is my favorite. So I went through and picked four possible that I thought went with Gary's sermon title and scripture. And the one she picked is Mercy Stepped In. Mercy being another word for Jesus. Mercy stepped in and stood in my place. Mercy saw my need and covered me with grace. An old rugged cross was the sentence I deserved. Yet I was spared the penalty of sin when mercy stepped in.
I had
Yeah, she's going around. Been missing her every time I've gotten up here. I'm waiting on her. Come on in. Almost sound like we were getting rid of you, you know, how all we've been doing today, Kathy. But we're not getting rid of you. We've made an agreement that we're going to retire together. Haven't we made that agreement? Okay. Some of you may be saying, well, y'all could retire pretty quick, but no. We're not planning to. We're not planning to. Ushers, if you're around, I got a lot of folks fanning. I think it's warm in here, so whoever can handle thermostats, if you'd do that for me, I would appreciate that. May have already done it. Maybe it'd be taking some time for it to be better. But Kathy, thank you. Thank you for a faithful spirit. Bill said it well. You make our office a place where you know you're cared for when you call or when you come. And for a church office, I think that's vitally important. And there's a ministry to being the church secretary that's unlike any other place or any other thing you have to do. And you do it well. Thank you. Today, I want to speak about faith. And as Regina and Gail were playing of God's faithfulness to us, I was just, well, that was a worship moment. Thank you, ladies. In this year of less is more, how can we walk more by faith and less by sight? It's hard. It's hard to do. Satan has a lie. Satan is told to measure ourselves by the standards of other fellow believers. Look at how the deacons are doing. Are you doing as well as they are? And you're okay. Look at the preacher. Are you doing better in some areas than he is? Then you're okay. Look at your Sunday school class. Or look at your Christian friends or maybe even a family member and use them as your goal. Well, that's a lie straight from hell. But it is challenging. And there are many of us that have been caught in that understanding. Today, I want us to look at a different standard. I want us to look at a biblical standard. In fact, I want us to look at several biblical standards, four in particular. Four lives of four people, you know all of them if you are a church man or woman. And I want us to ask ourselves honestly today, do we walk more by our own sight, by our own understanding? You remember, we read it this Wednesday night. Proverbs 3 says, don't depend upon your own understanding. Rest not upon your own understanding. I want to tell you that's hard, okay? I want to tell you that every one of us will have that struggle today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And next year, we'll be having that same struggle. The Apostle Paul, in his second letter, which may be a combination of at least two, maybe three letters, gives us a word. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's going to be our text. But we're also going to talk about Thomas. We're also going to talk about Peter. And we're also going to talk about a rich young ruler, and we're also going to talk about a woman in a well. And some of you are saying, my Lord, does the preacher know what time it is? And I do. But I know what the Lord has to say today. And we're going to hear what the Lord has to say today. And we're going to still be out okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul is talking about the fact, we read in the beginning of the business meeting this morning, by the way, at 9:30 next Sunday, we're going to be gathering in the sanctuary, all who will, for a moment or two of reflection and praying for Sunday school before we go in at 9:45. If you'd like to come join us, we'd love to see the sanctuary full. But we were talking about Paul saying that you and I, what you see of Gary is a clay vessel. It's funny for me because I was talking to a person from when I was a pastor in Beaufort, and I was a pastor in Beaufort from 1990 to 1997. If you were born after 1990, would you raise your hand? If you were born after 19, don't be ashamed of it. Some of you? Yeah, I think all of y'all are, but anyway. Okay, very good. Well, and that's the point, because when I left that church, a lot of those were little bitty babies, you know? And so when I was talking back to them and started asking about their daughters, you know, the vision that came to my mind was that little three-year-old. And they said, oh, you know, she's married and got two kids. Bethany's married? She's 3 years old. How can she be married and have three children or two children? We know these bodies change. Now that I have reached the age of 61, I'm beginning to understand what they mean when you're on the other side of the hill, you know, over the hill. Things change. These bodies, they're temporary. We know it, but we don't know it. We understand it, but we don't understand it. We believe it, but we don't believe it. And so we struggle. Paul was understanding that. He talked about, as we read this morning in our passage, he said, don't lose heart. This is in chapter 4. Though our outer self, these bodies, are wasting away, our inner self, our spirit, is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond comparison as we look not to things that are seen, not to sight, but to things that are unseen. For the things that are seen, sight, they're transient, but the things that are unseen, faith, they're eternal. So today, I'm going to preach on less sight and more faith. Less sight, less transient, less earthly, less physical, less temporary, and more faith, more eternal, more power, more glory, more grace, more power to do what we need to do. We're going to take now that thought and continue it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 as our text. Is found in the first 10 verses. If you're able, I invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of this portion of God's word. And Paul goes on to say, for we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. If indeed by putting it on, we may not be found naked. Remember Adam and Eve in the garden when they were naked and they saw their sin and they realized their condition and they hid from God. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened. Not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared for us for this very thing, it is God who has given us the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord in fullness. For we walk by faith, not by sight. There's our text. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we're at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him, to please God. Is that our aim? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. May God add his blessing to the reading of his most holy word. Pray with me. Lord, speak to us for a moment today about our faith walk. Speak clearly, for we're listening in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I shared this story, I think, the first year I was pastor here. I'm hoping either you weren't listening very well that Sunday, not like you are today, or you don't remember the story. But either way, you're going to hear it. So here we go. Seems like there was a guest preacher preaching at a church, and he said, everyone who lives around here, whether they're a sinner or a saint, is going to die. And everybody went, except for one old fellow, he kind of giggled. And the preacher thought, why in the world did he giggle? He must not have heard what I said. And so he backed up and he tried it again. He said, everyone around here, whether they go to church or whether they not, or they don't go to church regularly, they're going to die. And again, this fellow, this time, he just chuckled out loud. And it irritated the preacher. And he said, fellow, what's wrong with you? Didn't you hear what I said, that everybody around here is going to die? He said, yeah, but I ain't from around here. Well, I want to suggest to you that we might live our life that same way, thinking, death? No, not me. Oh, I might die one day. I hear people say, you know, if I ever die, you ever heard anybody say that? They're just being honest because they don't think they are. If I ever die. Well, so far the track record is ain't nobody got out alive, okay? So far that's 100% rule except for one. And he's who I want to talk to about, with us about today. The truth is, we're here in these temporary bodies, these clay pots, these earthly tents, these fragile bodies. I found out back in November that that finger is no match for a hedge trimmer. It's a fragile little finger when you get it next to that hedge trimmer. And isn't it funny, because I had run that hedge trimmer for years. It never hurt me. But Lord, when it hurt me, we've been living in these fragile bodies and we hadn't been hurt. But when it hurts us, clay pots, earthly tents, the physical man, the man of sight, the man of sound, the man of taste, the man of feel, the man of smell, those five senses. Do we live in that world? Is that our world, the five senses? Are we seeking pleasure to taste, to smell, to feel, to hear, to see? Is that our world? That's the world that sells soap. That's the world that sells soap. How many of you got a TV in your house? Seven of you. That's great. The rest of us, we're coming over. We're going to watch one of these days. Every one of you got a TV. Maybe you said, he said a TV. I got nine in my house. I couldn't raise my hand then. What do they sell? It tastes good. It smells good. It feels good. It sounds good. Zero going there. We live in that world, you and I. We live in that world. We live in the world of sight. The physical world. It is the physical world. I touch that and it's there. It's solid. I know it. I know there was, at least when I left, a car at the house. And there was a house there when I left. And I'm expecting to be back when I go there. Okay? We live in that world. Why do you think fires devastate us so badly? Because suddenly, when and especially if you've had that devastating fire where everything was destroyed, suddenly your whole world is turned upside down because we've so been indoctrinated by our culture to live in the physical world, to live in the sight, that when you destroy all the things we can find and see and touch and it's gone, we feel lost. We feel totally devastated. This is like death. Last Sunday, amen. We talked about the resurrection last Sunday, and today we still should be greeting with one another as He is risen. He is risen indeed. That's why we worship on Sunday, because we serve a risen Lord. Friends, here's what I want you to understand. There's an inside, and there's a treasure, and there's a light, and there's a spirit, and that's the real you. That's the real you. That's the faith man. And we've got to ask ourselves, are we more physical? Are we more psychic? Are we more faith? And it's easy to lie. Right here. It's easy to lie to ourselves. Right here. It's easy to lie to ourselves. Paul tells us that if we're living in our own strength, if most of our day and most of our thought and most of our energy and most of our money is on the physical things, then we're not living by faith. And it makes sense, doesn't it? Doesn't that make sense? You know, if I tell you you are the number one most important person in my life, I can't live without you. You're just the most important thing. No one is like you in my life. And I'll talk to you again in 10 years. Does that make sense? Is God just a historical event? Is this Bible just full of some good stories? Or is it the living Word of God? And is it the truth by which you and I must measure everything? And should we choose to do that, wow, how do we measure up, you and I? I love Peter. I love the Apostle Peter. You know I did. He's the first one we're going to chat about. Because sometimes he was all about the spiritual. And sometimes he was all about the physical. Sometimes he was walking by faith. And sometimes he was walking by sight. And sometimes it happened in about that much time. It just went from 100 degree or 180 degrees that way all the way to the other side. And you know the stories, right? I think when he's introduced to us, it's in Luke chapter 5. And he's been fishing, and he comes up, and the master, just as he's calling, says, "Cast your net on the other side." And Peter said, "Master, we've been working all night, and Master, I know you're not a fisherman because you don't put out nets in the daytime. That's a nighttime thing. But you said put it out. You said do it. And I'm going to do it." If we could just leave today saying, "Lord, you say do it, and I'll do it," we'll be on the right road. We'll be on the right road. We know another story that I guess he's even more faithful about. That's in Matthew chapter 14. That's where he went from 100 and going all the way this way to all the way this way, turning that 180 degrees. You remember the story, don't you? Matthew 14, 22 following, Jesus comes walking on the water, and Peter says, "Lord, let me come. I want to walk. Now, they're in a storm. You remember that story? They're in a storm. I don't like to be in a boat in a storm. I'm really not going to get out of it. But you know what I'm saying? That doesn't make any sense. You're in a storm. You don't get out of a boat. Not in a storm. You don't get out of a boat in deep water. You don't get out of a boat until it's time to get out of a boat. But Jesus was out of the boat, and faith called. Faith kicked in. He decided to be a faithful servant. He said, "Lord, if you can do it, I can do it. Lord, if you're out there, it'll be okay. Can I come?" I imagine Lord start rolling up his sleeves right as I'm going to get him out of this mess. This ain't going to end well. But you're showing some faith right now. You're showing me some faith. Come on. Is the Lord saying to us today, come on, show me some faith. Show me some faith in your home. Show me some faith in your daily walk. Show me some faith. And I'll invite you to come. Peter stepped out. And I just, you know, I've never had this thought. Wonder what the other guys in the boat thought. Lord, have mercy. You know, there's no indication that anybody else said, Lord, can I come too? That looks fun. I want to come. We might get a Disney ride like this, Lord. Like, this might catch on. This would be cool. No indication of that. They all stayed in the boat. But then, Matthew 14:22, it says, took his eyes off Jesus. He started looking at what he was doing. You ever done that? And he had a sink. He moved from faith to sight. He took his eyes off Jesus, his spiritual eyes off Jesus. He took his faith eyes off Jesus, and he put his physical eyes on the world. And he said, I can't be doing this. This is crazy. What am I doing out here? I'm going to die. This is ludicrous. Nobody. Help me, Lord. I'm in trouble. And the Bible says that Jesus swam over there to him. No, it didn't say Jesus swam. Jesus walked over there. And got him back in the boat. Have you been walking by faith, but now you're sinking? Your faith, you've changed your faith view for a sight view. You understand what I'm saying? By sight view, a human, you're doing it in your own strength. You're trying to figure it out your own way. Oh, the Bible's full of faith. Feeding the 5,000, Jesus did it with a little boy's lunch. 10 lepers came, and they were all healed. Servants filling up wine pots with water, and Jesus turned into wine. Telling a blind man to go wash his face in the pool of Siloam. Telling a man who had to be carried into the house and lowered from the roof to take up his bed and walk. Jesus was all about challenging us in faith. But not only him. You remember Moses holding up his rod and the Red Sea splitting wide open. You remember the folks joining Joshua and walking around the walls of Jericho 7 times, breaking pots and blowing trumpets, and the walls came tumbling down. You remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the book of Daniel when they were told they had to bow, and they said, even if we die, we won't bow. And they threw them into the fire, the 7 times hotter fire. And they walked around there and they said, didn't we throw 3 in the fire? It looks like there are 4 in the fire. And one of them looks like the Son of Man. You remember Daniel in the lion's den. You remember Abraham and Sarah. You remember Elizabeth and Zechariah having a child in their old age. The Bible's full of faith, isn't it? Why do you think those stories are in there? They're just good stories, right? I can tell you some Jerry Clower stories. He's got some good stories. You just like good stories. You can watch Dateline and get good stories. You can watch TV and get good stories. You can get chicken soup for the soul and get good stories. But the Bible is the word of Almighty God. And it is a model for us to live our life by. And we are to be what we are called to be by God and with God. And to live like God wants us to do. Are we walking by faith or are we walking by our faith? Here's what we all know. You with me? Let's cool off in here. Poke everybody next to you in case anybody's asleep. Wake them up. Here's what we all know. We know. You and I, we know. I know, and you know. I know about me, and you know about you. Are we walking by sight? Right now, Satan's whispering in our ear. He's not done. You don't have to worry about this. You forget this in 5 minutes. It'll be over. And you can go right back. You can walk out of his house. You continue to do your family. You can continue to do work. You can continue to do school. You can continue. yourself by every other measure other than the Word of God and other than walking by faith, and you'll be okay. And friends, that's a lie from the devil. And I want you to hear. I quickly want to end with three other biblical examples. There's a woman at the well in Samaria in John chapter 4. She heard Jesus told her some things that only Jesus could know. Would Jesus be able to tell us something that only Jesus knows? Is there a sin in your life today that only you and Jesus knows about? Could you hear what Jesus might say? That's what he did to that woman. He said, I know what your world's like, but I've got living water. And it went out and she told. And then I love John 4:39. It says, many believe because of her testimony. I'm going to ask us a hard question. How many are believing because of our testimony? And if we say none, do you think that's okay? Because folks walking by faith, not by sight, their testimony will change people. That might be a test. That might be a test for us to look. That's one who heard it and believed, who said, I've been walking by sight, but from here forward, I'm walking by faith. And the whole village, Jesus changed his plans to stay in Samaria longer to teach them because they were hungry for the gospel. When's the last time our faith changed Jesus' plans? There's a second story. It's in Matthew 19. It's that rich young ruler. He came to Jesus. He was religious. He was at church every day. He might have been a deacon. He might have been a preacher. He was a Sunday school teacher. He was an RA leader. He was everything you can think of, a church member. And he said, I've heard everything you've said and everything in the church that I've done. I've been on every committee. I've done it all. He said, you just lack one thing. Oh, boy, when Jesus said you just lack one thing, you better hold on to people. You better grab hold. Now I'm going to ask you, what's the Holy Spirit right now saying you lack one thing? What is it? How many want to see a change in your hand, in your home? Want to see a change in your life? Want to see a change in our community? Want to see a change in our world? What's the one thing you lack? What's the one thing that if you were to give that to God, it would make a difference? What's that one thing? In verse 22, you know what it says of that young man? He went away sorrowful. He's very rich. You can be a deacon and go to hell. You can be a preacher and go to hell. You can be a church member and go to hell. If you're not a disciple of Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. I don't say that with any joy. But I can't not say that. Because we're called to be disciples. You didn't die on that cross. Mercy didn't come down for us just to continue to walk by sight. Mercy came down so that we might walk by faith. And then the last one this morning is Thomas. You remember we read him last Sunday, if you were here, in John chapter 20. He heard that Jesus, in fact, he missed church. I sometimes want to preach on what happens when you miss church. When Thomas missed the upper room, Jesus came and had a special word. Jesus. And Thomas didn't get it. Not only did he get it, he said, I don't believe it, and I won't believe it till I can stick my finger in the nail prints and thrust my hand in his side. This young apostle trying to figure it out in the most tragic moment of the apostle's life reverted back to walking by sight. That's what he did. I don't believe till I can see. I won't believe until I can see it, until I can handle it, until I can touch it, until I can taste it, until I can smell it, until I can hear it. He's back in that world. It is always pulling us back, wanting to get us because, I tell you why, he will sell us stuff. That's why. In a hedonistic society like ours, it's all about pleasure, and pleasure makes money. But the apostle Thomas, he didn't hear it. He didn't see it. He couldn't smell it. He couldn't taste it. I told you a Peter who's back and forth. I told you of the woman at the well who got it and went forward with it. I told you about the rich young ruler who heard the right word but made the wrong decision and chose to continue to walk in what he could handle, what he could take with his hands and his money, and what he could buy and what he could use, and he just couldn't follow Jesus under those conditions. And now I've told you about Thomas. Because although Thomas made a bad decision of walking by sight for that moment, after Jesus presented him the option and he fell down at his feet, Thomas finished well. He went to Syria, and in 72 AD, he died a martyr's death for the gospel. He never went back to that sight walk. He stayed on the faith walk from that forward, from that moment forward. And so, in closing today, I want to say this as frankly as I know how, because I'm your pastor and I love you. I love you more than a lot of people in this world. I want you to know that. If you're walking by sight in your own strength, with most of your focus on yourself and what you want, even if you do good, even if you're a member of this church, even if you are on a committee, but you know you're walking by sight, you're lost. You're lost. You're lost. But if you're walking by faith, I didn't say you're perfect. You won't be perfect. But every day you get up and say, this is the day the Lord has made, and I'm going to do my best to give it to me. And I really want to hear from him. And I really want to talk with him. And I really want to spend time in this Bible understanding it is God's holy word. And I want him to direct my path. I want him to be a light into my feet and a lamp into my path. And him to direct me day in and day out. And you're a disciple. As we grow older physically, we get to the top of the hill. And then we start down. But on the spiritual walk, we don't get to the top of the hill in this world. And when we get to the top of the hill, there's no downside. Jesus wants to make a difference. Less sight, more faith. We walk by faith. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I believe this word is your word today. And I believe your Holy Spirit is in this place. And I believe you're challenging us to make some thoughts and some decisions. Lord, as a pastor, you don't ever want anyone to think that a cheap grace is all they need, and that they can continue to live a life that has none of your power, none of your grace, none of your mercy. You're not just an emergency fund, Lord. You're Lord, you're Master, you're guide, you're Director. And Lord, if that's not going on in our life, we need you today. We need you. And those of us, Lord, that are trying to do that, we need you in a special way. Because it's hard. Because before we're through today, we'll be challenged to go back to walk by sight. Help us to walk by faith. In all that we do, in all that we are, in Jesus' name. Our hymn of decision this morning, and I love that hymn of decision, is page 416. When you sing that, or look at those words, my faith looks up to thee. May that be our confession. If you need to come this morning to make some decision for God, oh, would you do that, please? If you need to make sure to make the adjustments of living by sight and living by adjusting away from living by sight to living by faith, oh, my goodness, today's the day. I promise. Biggest difference you can make is that decision. you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, then that's the greatest decision. Today is the day. Whatever the Lord say, would we be found faithful as our faith looks up to Him as we stand together? God, go with us from here. We'll be challenged to spend our time and our money and our energy on the temporary. But remind us that you blessed us with eternal. And what the world needs now is eternal. Help us to be faithful stewards of that in Jesus' name.